The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All right, once again, I'm in that position of laying out the truth to people who don't want to hear the truth.
I just don't understand the truth.
Such a...
You know, I just can't handle the truth.
I'm serious. There's a lot of people that cannot...
See what I did there?
You can't handle the truth. There's a lot of people that are like that. It's... We are so segregated, so divided, and unfortunately, the bearers of truth are the ones who are shot. And I just get shot all the time. I mean, it's like, really, do you want to hear this? And then people start going off, trying to actually navigate the waters of truth and be honest and open without regard to your political camp or who you've sided up with or what agenda you have, aside from the truth, is near impossible.
Well, and it ties back, because I'm still reading The Righteous Mind, the assigned reading, and the things that our brain does to try to justify things that we believe mm-hmm. or do in our lives.
Right.
So I don't know where the justification is. I don't know. This is, and I feel like I'm the common everyday guy who, mm-hmm. you know, this is the stuff I try to immerse myself
don't
in.
Don't give a bad name to common everyday guys.
I know, right? But it's just, okay, there was no law broken. Was it right? Hell, I don't know. I mean, he didn't do anything I don't think that any other politician at that level doesn't do.
I don't.
Does that make it right? No, but you can't single one out. Why are we singling him out when we know what Hillary did, when we know what Bill did, George W. did, George H.W.?
We're talking about Don Trump Jr. and the Trump administration, some of the information that came out yesterday. I was looking for, someone had, I thought I retweeted, I can't find it, yesterday, a poll. And it's one of our regular contributors on Twitter, mm-hmm. and they did one of the little tweet polls. And I was trying to find it to get the exact, but it was, what do you think, what is the worst problem right now? And it gave four options. I was not one of them, fortunately, or I would have skewed the voting. One of them was Russia, Trump leaks, North Korea.
Right.
And then they put partisan divide or our division in the country and something else like that, overwhelmingly partisan divide. And there was some really meaty stuff up there. And I was like, so I'm not the only, and that's what I picked too. And I was like, okay, that's the problem. That's what's going on. See, we can get through North Korea, as horrible as it may be, or if Russia, it doesn't matter. We can all get there if we're together. If we're all like, all right, we get it. We're all fighting for the same thing.
Not to sound cliche, but if we can get through anything, if we're...
United we stand, united we fall. That's absolutely true. You're right. It's not cliche, but it is cliche, but it's also true.
I wish people would realize that, though.
It's not. And the problem, we used to understand, or have at times in America, understood something. The founding fathers understood something. And that is, we are going to have lots and lots of differences. Hell, how many differences do you have with your significant other?
Mm-hmm.
The person that is supposed to love you most and you love most, and you share all of this stuff, all of this responsibility, you know, all of this. You see them at their worst, and still you have all of these differences over stuff like opening and closing the cabinets, Cal. Mm-hmm.
I find it very offensive that you chose my differences as an example.
Toilet seat.
Right. Cal's, one of theirs is, Cal leaves the cabinets open.
I leave the kitchen cabinets open.
Why?
Exactly. See?
Sometimes just to push her buttons.
Well, there you go.
Right. So this is it. So
we have our own partisan divide.
Now you're talking 300 and almost 30 million people. Huh? We're going to have it. So you've got to tear down some of those defensive mechanisms you have and say, look at the big picture and what do we all agree on for our own survival, first of all. And second of all, so things can be as comfortable as possible as we march to our graves. Because right. that's really yes, where
that's
we're
really
at now.
We're all headed.
That's
until we die.
I'm a little older, Cal, and I've been thinking about that a lot recently. Like, okay, what's the whole point of this? I'm just heading to the grave. Might as well just get there. So let's lay this out because there's some confusion on what's going on. We had Alan Dershowitz on the Think Tank yesterday on Blaze TV. Glenn set up the interview with Alan Dershowitz, who, by the way, is not some great conservative. In fact, he's a liberal. Mm-hmm. But Alan Dershowitz knows the law. He knows the Constitution. And Alan Dershowitz is pretty fair about that stuff. He has at times even admitted some of his own biases about stuff and will lay it out to the best of his ability. And emphatically, he laid out that no law has been broken. Mm-hmm. What we know definitively, no law has been broken. In fact, much of what is speculated, there is no law broken. That if this, the speculation, if true, when CNN's like, and then they were sure they did this. We can't prove it, but they did this.
Right.
He's a, the no law was broken there.
The way that the media is covering these things, you think like they're throwing words like treason around.
Yes, absolutely. Like, no, Alan Dershowitz is like, no law was broken. And we're like, what about, Glenn even said, what about treason? He goes, treason's the easiest to define. And he quoted it, and I'm trying to remember, bribery, Constitution said bribery, I can't think of the other one, and then high crimes and misdemeanors.
The crime of betraying one's country, especially by attempting to kill the sovereign or overflow.
Yeah, but see, that's the definition. The and he's going constitutional. It's, can't remember. Anyways, but it's real specific. He goes, it's not even close. He goes, next to nobody would fit that.
Yeah. I mean, okay, he met with people to talk about his opponent's weaknesses.
Right. And that's his son, by the way.
Where's treason there? Yeah.
So they keep going to these, and Alan Dershowitz is like, no crime has been committed. Now, he goes, should some of these things be crimes? He feels personally, yes. And right. There's one of the distinctions. Do you think something should be a crime? Fine. Then let's make it a crime. But until that happens, sorry. Are you pissed off that you passed this law and that's now a crime and that other guy got away with it before? Yeah, sure. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to arrest him. It's just how it is. I say that all the time. I'm really ticked off about getting a speeding ticket. And there's no reason our speeding laws should be the way they are other than to make money. And it pisses me off. But if I speed, I'm still guilty and I'm going to have to deal with that. That's how it is. CNN keeps missing that distinction. And then there's also the distinction between what is a sin, what is morally wrong, what is not right. What are things that we hear, read, see, and go, that just shouldn't be, versus what is. Morally, probably a lot of things that Trump and his team have done, I don't like. I don't like at all. I don't like as a citizen. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not the character I'm looking for from a president, from a congressman, from a senator, hell, from just people I work with. I'm not looking for that. That's not what I want. However, let's be honest and let's stop the witch hunt. Investigate. But this constant drumbeat from CNN, which is absolutely despicable now. CNN, and I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a sycophant. But how dare you? You've made MSNBC look credible.
It is amazing.
It's so obviously a personal vendetta at this point.
How do you get up and go to work every day working for CNN? So what are we doing today? We're going to bash Trump 24 hours. Great. Tomorrow. What are we doing today? We're going to bash Trump. We're going to gin stuff up that isn't true. And then when a nugget of truth comes out, which looks bad, which may be morally wrong, you're going to use that as what? Proof that a crime has been committed when it hasn't?
Justify all the BS.
How come you haven't had Alan Dershowitz on? How come you haven't put Alan Dershowitz on CNN and run that clip anytime you do anything, but no crime has been committed? Maybe it should be a crime. If CNN said, we're going to lead the campaign to make some of this a crime, I'd respect that more.
Obviously.
The headline on CNN just now, the lower third, said White House under siege. Definition of
what does
siege?
That mean?
Definition of siege, a military operation in which enemy forces surround a town or building, cutting off essential supplies. I didn't know. Why are we surrounding
somebody
the White House?
You know who the White House is under siege from? CNN.
Yeah.
I mean, figuratively speaking, it's you. Right. They left off the next line. You couldn't see, Brad.
By us.
It says by right, exactly. So here's what happened. And you could go back through the whole history, the timeline. We laid some of it out on Think Tank yesterday. Basically, Trump, before being elected, while working through the campaign, was working to discredit and find dirt on Hillary Clinton.
Which
it's opposition
is what you
research.
Do in
every one of them.
Every election.
Even the good people do this. Now, the better people the more morally upstanding people, the opposition research is on bad things they've done while in office, right, or things that would be unpalatable or unsavory to the people that are going to likely have to choose whether or not to vote for them.
Right.
Wow, you voted for that law and people don't like it? Let's talk about that. But it's gotten to the point of they dig for moral flaws, moral wrongdoings, affairs, whatever, and they did this. During this campaign, we know that now Don Trump Jr. got word from an attorney. He was connected through a billionaire and his son, who happens to be a pop singer in Russia, that the Trumps knew. The Trumps, Donald in particular, was acquaintances with them. Do you remember the dossier with the golden showers that was supposedly, which turned out not to be true?
Right.
That was supposedly happened during a meeting when he went to Russia to meet with that billionaire years ago.
All right.
So that's how they're connected. This guy says, hey, we've got some information, could be helpful. So they use this female Russian attorney. She contacts, or they claim she can, they can put Don Trump Jr. in contact with her. And she is, as they lay out in the emails, quite definitively an attorney for the government. She works for the Russian government. There's a big distinction there, because private citizens talk and meet all they want. You get into some hinky things, some of it illegal, some of it just improper,
right,
or immoral, when it becomes a Russian official. Okay. And the reason I say some of it is because then it comes down to intent mainly, and second of all, what they were actually discussing or doing. Hey, we can hook you guys up. Don Trump Jr. is like, wow, this is great. I can use this information. We're trying to find dirt on Hillary. I'm paraphrasing. And by the way, this would be great if you can release this later in the summer, because that's what you do. She doesn't have time to defend it and you lose the election. And that's what he basically said. We had questioned before we went on the air at 5 o'clock with Think Tank. Okay, has a crime been committed? And we're all sitting around right before he went on going, I don't know. Caleb suggested collusion.
Right.
There could be some sort of conspiracy, or belief that you were intent to, conspire. Because she didn't end up actually working for the Russian government.
Oh, she was lying?
They lied about her. She didn't work for the government. Now, did she work for the government? Of course she worked for the government. I mean, somewhere along the line, she knows somebody, she has connections. Wink, wink, and by that I mean wink, wink. She worked for the government. But there's plausible deniability she didn't, and it looks like they set a trap for the Trumps. That's what they were doing. They were trying to get information and start this email chain so they would be able to blackmail him, extort him on some level.
So wait a minute. Does that mean that the Russians wanted Hillary to be elected? If they were trying to sabotage the Trumps,
because that information never had to come out. So the guy gets elected 6 months down the road or 2 years, and you need a favor. We have this information,
and we'll release.
That's what they do.
I think they wanted that on any whoever wins.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
And that's what Jason laid out based on the way some of this was written. Jason Buttrell, who's former intel, is like, based on the way this is written, based on what Russia said, some of the terms they use. This was about creating a dossier and blackmail evidence on the Trumps that they would be able to use this chip down the road. That's what they do.
Being a political neophyte. Presumably, Donald Trump did not understand what was going on in that sense.
Ultimately, this is what you can look back at least and say.
All right.
The Trumps were schooled by Vladimir Putin. And this is not hating on him. Right. It's just true. They were schooled that Vladimir Putin knew more about cybersecurity, email security, the American people's political persuasions and what would happen, and ultimately the law. Than Donald Trump's team. So you have the Russian lawyer there, okay? There's a failed connection here. They still haven't showed that that she actually worked for the Russian government, the attorney, okay? So there's a little leap there. He believes she did, which is bad, not a crime, apparently. Right, okay. Should it be a crime? Maybe, not a crime. If they show she did work for the government, probably not a crime, okay? It's just not. And I'm not defending. I'm still telling you it's wrong. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. Then the next bigger hurdle they have to get over. So that's the first one. Prove that Trump Jr. had a connection with the Russian government and there was a crime committed, which probably included intent. Okay.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Knowingly or unknowingly, let's say he thought she was government, but she wasn't, and he still went ahead. Is there a crime there?
No, probably not.
Whether or not, like, I guess whether or not she was actually government is irrelevant.
No, because you can go and get information
on whether or not he thought she was government.
What, there's no treason? There's no, you have to show a crime. So there has to be intent, number one, and then there has to be, which crime are you talking about? It's not illegal for the government to give you information on each, on people or whatever, so for the Russian government.
Yeah, that's, I guess that's the base question. Right. Is it illegal for a, you know, an official running for presidency to obtain information from a foreign government against any candidate?
No.
Okay, so then that's
and if
of...
and if it is, which it's not, but if it were, Hillary Clinton would still be guilty of that too, because there's some similar things she did, and also many other people have run for office. So it's not. So that's the first hurdle. Then the second, much bigger hurdle, is to prove, if you could prove intent and a crime for Don Jr., did Trump know? Was he a part of it?
Right.
That's the big dog they still haven't gotten to. Now, this is very bad. This is the first or closest to Donald Trump they've gotten with Russia being involved with something, and that the Trumps lied about it. It looks shady because they kept lying. We didn't meet. We didn't meet. We didn't meet. None of this happened. Okay, we met.
Right.
Because Donald Trump Jr. is on tape saying, we did not meet. Over and over. In various ways, they said it since the election 30-some times via Twitter, on interviews, whatever. They didn't
they
meet with them.
The Russians.
All right, let me get a quick break, and we'll come back with more of this on The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Check out BrickHouseDoc.com. That's the website, BrickHouseDoc.com. And remember the promo code DOC to get Dawn to Dusk with a 15% discount. Dawn to Dusk is an extended release energy supplement. Lasts up to 10 hours, increases your energy, improves your mood, stimulates your brain, and doesn't give you the jitters. So if you have trouble getting through the day in these trying times like we do, why not pick up Dawn to Dusk, BrickHouseDoc.com.
Yeah, if I don't take my Dawn to Dusk, I'm a mess. I pass out. Probably. Actually, I'm pretty much, you know, when you're like, Cal, I just said that. That's the days that I didn't take my Dawn to Dusk. When I repeat what you said, like 30 seconds after you said it, like it's something new.
You know, you got another baby coming.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Do they have super Dawn to Dusk?
Can I just get an IV? Just slap it right into my arms. It's the only way I stay awake throughout the day without passing out.
It's BrickHouseDoc.com. Again, promo code DOC and get Dawn to Dusk today. BrickHouseDoc.com with promo code DOC. So the big question I have in this Donald Trump Jr. and the Russian thing is, who leaked the emails? Who leaked them?
Right, yes. Who in the government?
Because Don Trump...
Now we're talking about the Don Jr.
Don
emails.
Jr. Don Jr. Gave the information. He put the emails out there himself.
Right.
Preemptive strike. Because the New York Times was going to do it. Who leaked him in the New York Times? By the way, here's his defense. Don Trump Jr. Here's what he had to say on Sean Hannity last
night. In retrospect, I probably would have done things a little differently. Again, this is before the Russia mania. This is before they were building it up in the press. For me, this was opposition research. They had something, you know, maybe concrete evidence to all the stories I'd been hearing about, but they were probably underreported for, you know, years, not just during the campaign. So I think I wanted to hear it out. But really, it went nowhere, and it was apparent that that wasn't what the meeting was actually about.
So now, I was just doing opposition research, and now I realize that really wasn't. They got me.
Yeah.
They got me.
He regrets being caught.
So what questions remain in your mind now? What's the question?
All right. So again, yeah. Who leaked it? And number two, what was the information that was going to be so damaging to...
We don't know.
Exactly.
And he just said, you know, I thought it was going to be this. That's clearly not the case or whatever. They haven't showed us. There's no smoking gun. What was it about Hillary?
Right.
What if it was the Russians who leaked this?
It could have been.
No, because why would they give away if that's their Trump? Sorry.
Unless
that's
they're punching Trump card. Him. Remember, they just had a 2-hour meeting that was supposed to be a half an hour.
Right.
I want you to do this. Sorry, I'm not going to do it. It's not tremendous. Right? Okay.
Are you sure?
Have you released the information? Release the hounds.
Release the information.
The information, comrade. Who knows? We'll find out, though.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
We'll get some of your tweets and calls coming up. If you would, tweet at us some questions. What questions remain in your mind about what's going on with the latest with Don Trump Jr. and the information coming out? What questions remain?
Whether you like him or not.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I don't care if you like him. I mean, you could be a sycophant against or for him. I don't care. I'm trying to put together all the different unanswered questions, and we'll get to those a little bit later on. I could share some with Glenn when he comes in as well. It's certainly heating up. I just wish there was more truth about it, more honesty. Admit who you are. Admit what your biases are. Certainly, I want consistency. I want consistency if you didn't support Hillary or you did. I want consistency. Be accountable, and I'm certainly not getting that from the media or most of it. David Weissman joins me now, writer for Freedom Daily. Hey, David, how are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Doing well. You have an article about Linda Sasseur. Linda was the woman who called for a jihad against President Trump. Am I remembering that right?
Yes, you are.
And tell me more about her. Who is she and where does she come from? I don't know. Some people probably recognize her name. I know there have been other stories recently where she seems like a questionable character.
Yes, when I first learned about her, it was during the Women's March when President Trump had his inauguration. And, of course, you know, with this it's a liberal event, and they turned it into an anti-Trump march instead of actually caring about women's rights. So I did a little bit more search, found out that, you know, she's, you know, quote-unquote Palestinian. She supports Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. And she's been doing a lot of tweets against President Trump, saying lies about the travel ban, which is definitely a must. I mean, you see terrorism throughout the world, and you know you need to have borders, you need to have a secure vetting system. I live in Israel, and I can tell you from all the different kinds of terror attacks that we have in this country, it happens from men, you know, women or children are terrorists. You know, these terrorists are cowards. They use anybody. Anyone to get their agenda across, to hurt people, to force people into Sharia law. And this is what she's doing. And she goes on these platforms where no one challenges her to a debate or her ideology, and she's spreading a lot of incitement.
Yeah, I remember when one of the other stories, she was part of the whole Women's March thing, too. You're right. And it became... part of my problem with her is she's blurring the line. She clearly has an agenda when it comes to jihad and ISIS and extremist views when it comes to Islam. But she's conflating her crazy ideas with things like feminism. But there's a whole disparity when you look at it. If you're at the Women's March and you're somebody that supports some of the things that ISIS does, who clearly does not support women, you got some conflicts there.
Exactly, and there's a phrase that people need to learn about. It's called taqiyya. And you know what that is? It's a term which means it gives Muslims permission to lie to the public to win their hearts and minds, and that's what she is doing. She is having the left-wing media wrapped around her finger, and it is, you know, and it's enough, you know. Enough is enough, and this has got to stop. This is causing a lot of hatred and division in the United States. And yes, I'm in Israel, but you know, I see all the tweets from you know liberals attacking conservatives just for supporting president and the American way of life. And you're right. I mean, how can you support Sharia and support you know feminism? It's you know you can't do that.
So we'll tweet out a link to the article so people can check that out, who she is and your thoughts on her. But I want to also get your thoughts on what's going on with the scandals now, with the connection Don Trump Jr. and his emails that he denied existed or denied he had any contact with anybody in Russia, basically, during the campaign and then after. What are your thoughts on that, David?
I think the liberal media fake news is pulling at straws and... You know, the Democrats, they had nothing. And, you know, where was all this outrage when Obama gave billions of dollars to a country that, you know, said death to America? You know, where was all the outrage when Obama was going around Arab countries bowing down to our enemies? And, you know, they call, you know what, Donald Trump Jr. did treason. Okay, so he met a Russian official. I don't remember Russia chanting that to America. It's nonsense.
So, you know, and I agree with that. We always call people out for their lack of consistency, but I hate when we address current situations by saying, well, those people did wrong. I mean, you're right. There has been a rabid lack of consistency. However, we've got to look at this. Although there is no crime committed, are you still bothered, though, morally, ethically, that, okay, first of all, they lied to us, and then second of all, that maybe you shouldn't be meeting with these cats and doing this stuff?
I think the Trump administration is trying to, you know, they mean well, they're trying to, you know, work together, global fight and terrorism, they're trying to work together to make things better. Yeah, they might have been lying, but, you know, mistakes happen, people are human, people make mistakes. Do I consider it treason? No, that's not...
Well, it's not legally treason, we know that.
Yeah, I mean, people are human, and you know what? You know, mistakes happen, it's time to move on. Try to actually focus on actual policies. Focus on what, you know, can make America better. It seems like this is like a distraction from left wing and take off the, you know, what's really going on in the world.
Because I'm looking for a little more consistency. You said it, you know, sure, it may be, you know, they may have lied to us or whatever. I mean, they lied to us, David. I mean, they lied a lot to us.
Well, like I said, people are human. People make mistakes. I mean, it's not the end of the world. Okay, so he met a Russian official. You know, I think, you know, maybe they're I guess they were might have worried that, you know, the media might have been taken out of proportion, and obviously they are. And so, what is a crime on meeting with a Russian official?
Well, no, there's no crime. We've said that. There was no crime committed.
Correct. So, I mean, why is there so much focus on this deal?
Partisan politics.
Exactly. Partisan.
Would you have said the same if circumstances were similar, if it came to a Hillary administration or an Obama administration? Would you have said if mistakes were made?
If it put the country in jeopardy, like, you know, the Iran deal or the uranium deal, I mean, if it was just a meeting, okay. You know, and people meet, and, you know, leaders meet. But, you know, if it puts the country in danger, puts the country at national risk, and yeah, that's something that, okay, you know, that's what's going on here.
Okay. Well, like I said, what on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
It is at David M. Weissman, WEISSMAN.
And what I'll do is I'll tweet out a link to that so people can follow you, and also to your article on Linda Sarsour. Is it Sarsour? Is that... Did I say it right?
Sarsour, yeah.
Sarsour. So people could check that out as well and follow you. David, thanks so much for joining us today from Israel. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Day. Appreciate the opportunity.
So, this is... that's the reason I challenged him about, you know, would you say the same thing with Obama? I don't know David enough to say that he would have treated it differently, but I know a lot of people on the right would have. I heard Hannity last night lead after the Don Trump Jr. clip with... Where were they when Obama did this? And rattled off a laundry list. Yes, Sean, you're right. However, during the Obama administration, did you find it acceptable? Did you accept when they said, where were they when George W. Bush and gave a laundry list?
Right.
No, you know what I said? Two wrongs don't make a right. And I'm going to say that now. Two wrongs don't make a right. What wrongs are we talking about? Laws being broken? No. We're talking about things that are unsavory or improper. But there were plenty of those things when it came to the Obama administration. If we didn't know that laws were broken, we said, well, they shouldn't be doing that. You're doing this and that's not right. And okay, look at it like this. Look at it with Obama meeting in secret communications, I guess we should say, or people from his administration in secret communications with Iran for a year and a half, a year? Before we knew anything about it.
Right.
Perfectly legal and proper to say we're going to negotiate with people, even people that have been our enemies. You know, you got to have a dialogue at times. Fine. But what did we say? The laws, maybe there's parts of it that are improper by not telling us or and whatever. Immoral. And what did you get out of it? But people threw that into the whole Iran deal discussion or whatever, and they were pissed off about it. I was ticked off. Why didn't you tell us? Well, we didn't want to queer the deal. We wanted to make sure we could negotiate, and it's done delicately. Okay, I was still frustrated by parts of it. If you were critical of the way that rolled out at all, and you're defending Trump, you got a problem.
This whole thing is going to snowball, because what will happen, and this is the kind of crap that got Donald Trump elected to begin with. People were so sick and tired of politicians and the bickering and the infighting and the them and the us and the blah, 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 that they wanted somebody in there who wasn't a politician, whether he is or not, that remains. But that's what people were sick of. Now it's just snowballing. So what happens? A Democrat gets elected next time. The Republicans are going to spend a...
Same thing.
Yes. And then we're never,
meanwhile,
ever going to get out of this
we're
cycle.
We're still up to our eyeballs in debt. We still don't have a health care plan. We still don't
have a budget? We've got nothing. This is insanity.
It's just more of, look over here, shiny object. Well, over here, the real crap's going on.
Do you remember our boss, Dom, was on the air with Glenn shortly after the election? It might have been the morning after. And he laid out what now, in my mind, I always go back to when it came to what really happened. How did Trump get elected? Whatever. And it was the average people saying, what about my life?
Yes.
And you're right. We don't like the bickering, infighting. That's always been a part of it. But it's more personal. It's more kind of where you're going with that, Cal. Yeah, we still have debt or whatever. But it's more about I still have debt.
Or it's more about I can't feed my kids.
Yes. And if I can't, I can't. I cannot get ahead.
I don't care about this nonsense.
I can just keep up. And every time I'm like, oh my gosh.
I think we're okay.
I have $500 in savings. So if something goes wrong, I'm all good. Guess what? Oh, something I hadn't expected. Oh, guess what? I'm $200 in debt.
Yep.
Or worse. Some people $10,000, $20,000 because they're running to keep up with it for years. How has that changed? How is that likely to change? And this isn't on Trump. That's not a criticism of just him, because it's also Congress. There's many things going on here. Mm-hmm. But with all of this, you're still not addressing that.
Right.
The average person is still out there in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, in Parma, Ohio, in Lubbock, Texas, or wherever.
Six part-time jobs.
Busting their hump with very little future, saying there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. Relief Factor was a product that was designed to deal with inflammation in your body, so hopefully you could get rid of the pain in your body. And guess what? It has worked for me. It has worked for Brad. It's worked for a lot of people. Not everybody, but a lot of them, and the majority of people who try it. You should try it today if you have pain, if it's a recurring pain because you exercise or something like that. If you have a pain that has been something that's been going on for years and you've tried other things, why not try Relief Factor? So many people have had success. For the $19.95 it's going to cost you for a three-week quick start pack, certainly worth trying. All you have to do is go to ReliefFactor.com. It's ReliefFactor.com. You can also call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, and try Relief Factor. It's worked for so many people. Hopefully it'll work for you, and I think it probably will. It has been a lifesaver to a lot of people. We've had people tell us over and over again, I've tried so many other things, and that's really what this is. It's not like they're like, wow, that Cal is such an upstanding guy. I'm gonna go ahead and try what he says. It's desperation where you're just like, hell, I'll try anything. Hot poker in my nose, fine. Whatever it takes. Yeah, this is a little less invasive than hot poker in your nose.
Quite a bit.
Little less invasive. It's $19.95. Roll the dice, try it. Usually takes 7 to 10 days to see results. Hopefully it'll work for you. It's ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
This is
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
You're Rob Ford.
I remember.
We're talking political scandals off the air. Mayor Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto, who's dead now, by the way.
Oh boy, is he.
Did he die? He didn't die of an OD.
He died of complications.
He died of
cancer. I didn't know he had cancer.
Yeah, he had cancer. It was a rare form of cancer.
People speculate it may have been because he abused his body so long, so it may have been connected to it or whatever.
The unfortunate he looked like Chris Farley.
Well, yeah, but we started talking about it because...
Think smoking crack is... That's a side effect is cancer, right?
Maybe. Could be. No, but what a political failure. We're talking about political failures. It's a guy who just threw it out there.
He just...
I mean, he was arrested while mayor for doing crack, right?
I think on a hooker's butt or something.
Yeah, it was like in the worst extreme. And there wasn't there tapes of him in some other...
He didn't deny it.
No.
Right.
So I enjoyed a little crack on her butt.
He just doubled down and just kept throwing it out there.
Or like the thing where
he was honest.
Right.
I forgot the context, but he said something about how he likes, you know, to indulge in coitus with his wife.
Stoned
or something. Or
Who hasn't said that at the press conference? Come on.
The politician. Yeah. At least he was honest about it. The people of Toronto, even though his approval rating was still fairly high, people personally said, oh, I don't like this. But some of them liked the swagger that he was being honest about the stuff, you know? But I got to think the political consultants are like, Rob, no.
Stop it.
Mayor
Stop
Ford.
It.
Mr. Mayor.
We talked about this.
In the meeting, we said you shouldn't talk about your wife that way.
I don't know. That's what I'm going to do. Hand me that crack pipe.
Oh, here we go again.
The consultant said mentioning whores and crack and screwing your wife is not a good political move.
All right, fine. Can I talk about plowing that hooker the other day?
No, they said that. You notice the flow chart here. Here's the research.
You guys take all the fun out of this job.
According to polling, plowing hookers isn't good.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Rob Ford. I only remember some of his shenanigans, and I'm like, son of a gun, do I miss him? And I didn't realize he said so many smart things.
Mm-hmm. Sure, maybe not the best way to say him, but
he may have.
The point, I get the point.
The point was valid, and some of the ways he said it that were unique, I applauded, and some of the ways he said it, maybe he shouldn't have, but okay, listen to some of these Rob Ford quotes. The great Rob Ford quotes
from this one's,
former mayor of Toronto.
This one he said after admitting he got drunk at the Taste of the Danforth Street Festival.
That was one of the big scandals. That's when it all started crumbling.
So he goes, that was pure stupidity. I shouldn't have gotten hammered down to the Danforth. If you're going to have a couple drinks, you stay home and that's it. You don't make a public spectacle of yourself.
Okay, legit. Should have done it, admitted it. Okay. Stand-up politician.
Yep. I like this one in particular. Mm-hmm. This one he said while explaining why taxpayers shouldn't be concerned with AIDS.
Why is that?
If you're not doing needles and you're not gay, you wouldn't get AIDS probably. That's bottom line. Those are the facts.
Okay, now wait. Hang on.
I don't know why I'm putting this weird kind of country accent on.
Is that valid?
No, you can get AIDS.
You can, but what two groups of people have primarily been likely to get AIDS?
Initially,
well, drug dealers.
Initially.
Absolutely. I mean, drug users.
Intravenous drug needle sharers. And homosexuals. I mean, that was the main way it was spread.
In the beginning.
Right. Now, I mean, it's not as, but is there some truth there?
Did
it show a degree of insensitivity?
Yes.
The truth hurts.
Okay.
This one is his opinion on the Asian demographic.
Yes.
If I can put it lightly.
Yes.
Now, these are his words, not mine.
Right, exactly.
The Oriental people work like dogs. They work their hearts out. They are workers nonstop. They sleep beside their machines. That's why they're successful in life.
Well, okay,
I went to Seoul, South Korea. I went to Taipei, Taiwan. I went to Tokyo, Japan. That's why these people are so hard workers. I'm telling you, the Oriental people, they're slowly taking over.
Okay, I mean...
The politically correct term is Asian now,
right.
But okay, I'm not offended by it. I would just say that's probably conventional wisdom that a lot of people agree with. I have a different view about who works harder, whether it's tall, goofy white guys or Asian women.
Because you are married to a Korean woman.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that for a moment. I'm just going for personal experience.
You've been to
you
South Korea.
Yeah, who works harder?
Right.
I guess there are exceptions to the rules. Okay, give me another Rob Ford.
All right, one more. This one's on whether or not the city should be funding LGBTQ programs. I don't understand. Number one, I don't understand the transgender. I don't understand. Is it a guy dressed up like a girl or a girl dressed up like a guy? And we're funding this for what? I don't know. What does it say here? We're giving them $3,200?
Okay.
End quote.
Did he mention the old switcheroo?
he didn't mention the switcheroo.
Okay. What was the one? There was one scandal at a hockey game or something, okay, so I remember. This was when he was a councilman, I think. He wasn't mayor yet.
Okay, so this was when an out-of-town couple asked him to stop yelling at a Maple Leafs game that he was subsequently kicked out of later. So he said, who the F do you think you... And obviously, these were curses.
Sure.
Who the F do you think you are? Are you an effing teacher? And then afterwards, when the man wouldn't respond to Ford, he said, do you want your little wife to go over to Iran and get raped and shot?
What does going to Iran have to do with it?
I have no idea.
Okay. Beer.
But later on, the couple didn't know he was who he was until after he left and left them his business card.
Oh, good.
He
so
them, you know,
so they wouldn't have known who he was because they're out of town. But he's like, I don't want them to misunderstand and think I'm just a fan. I'm a councilman.
That was the wrong one, Kirk.
Shouldn't we be going to the headlines now? I'm not sure
Kirk's,
that was...
Kirk's pushing the wrong buttons, but okay.
Yeah. We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
See, the sound effect we had
told
Kirk...
That's after you, like, you know, you reveal something pretty big.
Right, well, I told Kirk, like, we may use that sound effect later on, and he's like, let me know or whatever, and I was like, we're going to use it later on or whatever, but normally there we go to headlines.
Well, and yeah, the way we would use it, but look, you got that other one ready, Kirk?
You mean the open that says headlines?
No, the other one. The
dun,
turn,
dun, dun.
Turn that way down for a second, and then I'm going to say, and when I point to you, the dun, Cal, you want to know what I told him? You're going to die.
Got it.
All right.
That's the context.
Back to headlines.
Hey. Music back up. Here we go.
National Eat Your Jell-O Day.
Eat Your Jell-O Day.
Eat Your Jell-O Day, yeah. I like Jell-O.
Otherwise known in Bill Cosby's household as National Pill in the Pudding Day.
Do you know what Jell-O is made from?
Isn't it like bones?
Yeah.
Horses' hooves.
Gelatin.
Made up bones.
As animal bones.
Yeah, they grind up bones, whatever the gelatin that's in bones or whatever, that's what it is. So
it makes it that
I've
kind
heard
of...
that touring Jell-O factories is absolutely 100% verboten. It's like Fort Knox. It's like going into the Pentagon security. Because if anybody saw what because we're like, it's this fruity little gelatin stuff.
It's liquid, but it's not solid. Yeah. But it's not exactly liquid.
People that live nearby are
probably the smell
mortified by the smell,
yeah.
So they don't let anybody.
Nice. Happy belated birthday to Juan Pablo Villalobos Maradiaga.
I love that guy.
Such a good guy.
39 children. He just celebrated his 116th birthday. Oldest man in the world.
Wow. 39 children.
I said happy birthday.
¿Qué?
Yes.
¿Qué?
All right. So in Missouri, they didn't see this one coming. You know, those little tiny houses that have become so popular?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have an unforeseen drawback. Instead of stealing stuff out of your home, thieves simply steal your whole house. That's what happened to Lisa Stubblefield. She left her house in a roped-off area last week. And... yeah, when she arrived back to, it was for a festival, she found that someone had stolen her whole house.
I know I live around here somewhere.
Yeah. My house was where this giant hole is.
Yeah.
Coming home drunk to that?
That would be, yeah.
Where am I? Oh, here?
My house.
Did I leave it behind the bowling alley again?
And I just don't see how people live in those things.
Oh, I could at this point.
I
agree with you, but there is like 2% of me that's like, it would be nice just to have just a room and not have to worry about everything else.
All about that now.
Something I can just pack and move with me.
No, I'm all about that. Because you know what? If you have other rooms beget stuff.
Yes.
Right?
And you know what you have to do? You have to clean the rooms and the stuff.
And you got to find more space for more stuff.
And some of us are the ones responsible for cleaning those rooms and the stuff.
But just remember,
I'm ready for a half a room.
If there's only one room, you and your significant other have to be together all the time.
No,
at this
you
point,
don't.
You don't want
no,
a significant
you don't.
Other.
You make them sleep outside.
You go outside. You go to the mall. You go walking. You go running. You go to the movies.
For
see
days
what I'm saying?
At a time.
Actually get you away from them a little bit.
I hadn't thought about that.
There it is.
All right. I want you all to meet Leanne Sapelia.
Oh, but that means you park your house near a bar.
Oh, yes.
That's what it is.
Without question. Leanne Sapelia. She is the woman who would actually pee on you if you were on fire. She, want to thank listener Zach Bonesteel for this one. She dumped a bucket of pee on her burning boyfriend.
Dun, dun, dun. She what? She dumped
a bucket of pee on her burning boyfriend after she set him on fire.
Whose pee was in the bucket?
Apparently, they used this bucket. She and her boyfriend and her parents lived in
a small house,
a one room.
Apparently, a one room, and used this bucket as the toilet,
the latrine.
Yes. So when no word on why she lit him on fire.
Now let me ask you this: if you're on fire and all I got's a bucket of pee, do I put you out with it or let you burn?
Well, how am I on fire? Was there an accelerant used?
Yeah, you're on fire. You're going to die.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Was there
your
an
head's
accelerant?
On fire.
Was
yes.
there an accelerant used?
Yes. Yes.
Then I have to, the pee's acceptable.
If your head's on fire without an accelerant, you're
yeah, because I can just stop, drop, and roll, but an accelerant's going to be harder to put out that you're not going to be able.
She poured gas on him before she set him on fire.
Oh, yeah, then you're going to want to have urine.
And then anyway, she set him on fire and then she dumped piss on him?
Yes. Well, yes.
So she said, obviously, she wanted him on fire and then she was like, you know what, on second thought.
Come here.
Right.
I feel a little bad.
Maybe she just wanted a reason to dump pee on him.
Oh, that's it.
Could have been. The fire chief was quoted as saying, "I can't see how that's an accident when it happens at 4 in the morning and the gas was 30 feet away from the bed. It had to be carried."
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, this is another strange one. So a guy is, he approaches a couple of Muslim teenagers and he doesn't hit them. I mean, he doesn't with his hand. Or he doesn't, doesn't shoot them, doesn't stab them. He hits them with bacon.
Had they done anything, or he was just being a douche?
I think he was just being a douche.
Okay.
He was sentenced last week to 6 months in jail for assault and public order offense.
Assault with bacon.
With bacon.
Assault with a cured meat.
Right. And everyone knows you eat bacon. You don't throw it at people.
So, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Cal, is it true that as a Muslim, if the bacon comes in contact with your skin, it immediately starts burning, right? It's like the Wicked Witch of the West with water.
That's what happens. The bacon or their skin?
Their skin does.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. It leaves this greasy kind of residue that burns
through your flesh. Right through it. It's so painful. So, you guys going to get to spend 6 months courtesy of the county in London. All right. You really wish you were... Rosa Dominguez. She's 19 years old. She lives in California. In 1 week, she bought two $5 scratch-off tickets. The first one, she won $555,555.
Apparently wasn't enough. Got to get a second ticket.
The second ticket, she won $100,000.
You know, I hear these stories and I just get angry.
In the same way.
Don't be angry.
It never happens to
me. You want to know why?
Why?
Because she's going to spend all $600,000 on scratch-offs because she thinks she's invincible. Yeah.
She thinks she says she's going to go shopping and buy herself a new car. Hey, you want to go help her? Things you shouldn't say if you carry a gun, like as in a cop. Down in Largo, Florida, a sheriff's deputy wrote on social media he almost shot somebody. Followed with an LOL.
He's a cop?
Yeah, he's a cop, and he wrote on his Facebook page, I was so mad, I almost almost shot somebody.
Did they investigate those things?
They fired him.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's going to be bad.
You really just shouldn't joke about that.
Yeah.
As a cop,
Why are we so sensitive? I mean, I would want to know, was he joking about somebody who deserved to be shot?
Right.
All right, let me get a quick break in. Back with more of The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
We interrupt Doc Thompson in the Morning Blaze to bring you this important Shia LaBeouf date.
All right, so we first told you yesterday about Shia's recent troubles. He was in Savannah, Georgia, filming the Peanut Butter Falcon movie, whatever the hell that is. Is it a new superhero?
No.
Is it a Peanut Butter Falcon? You got your Peanut Butter Falcon into my chocolate eagle.
It's probably
you
like
got your chocolate
name.
Eagle on my Peanut Butter Falcon.
Because you know sometimes
they
two
shoot. Great birds that go great together. What's that?
Sometimes they'll do like secret titles to movies, big movies. Like
Project
Star
Z
Wars
or something.
Was called like, you know, the Empty Chair or
that's
something
right,
like
yeah.
that. You know, it's like things like that.
So anyways, he's there filming and shockingly gets in a little bit of trouble. Because he's at a bar or out at a festival. Anyways, he's drinking, apparently, and tries to bum a cigarette from a guy, and the guy turns him down, and then he gets all, how come you can't give me a cigarette in the guy's face? And then the cop comes over, tells him he has to leave.
The guy was a cop. He went up
right.
to a cop
and
asking
for
a cigarette. It wasn't just some random, which again, are you stupid?
And then
you're drunk.
Right,
You've had confrontations with cops before.
Cop kicks him out. Says you got to leave. He refuses to leave, causes a disturbance or whatever.
Runs like a girl.
Then they're going to arrest him. So he runs like a girl across the street or whatever to his hotel. And they arrest him in a hotel, in the lobby of his hotel. We have the audio now.
Oh! We got two pieces of audio.
And there's even more than that, too, yeah. by the way. So in this from body cams from the cops and then dashboard cam or whatever. Yep. So we've had to beep this. Hopefully we got them all because there's a lot. And we'll later post these on Facebook as well so you can see them yourself. We'll tweet out a link to it. The first one is from the hotel. This is from the hotel across the street. And the cop is funny because Shia was all like anti-racist. He's a big leftist and how dare you be racist and all Trump is a racist and Black Lives Matter and all this stuff.
He will not divide us.
He will not divide us. He will not divide us. He has a bunch of stuff that seems pretty, it's certainly racial and seems pretty racist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here he is at the hotel and the cop is a white cop.
Yes.
Okay, here it is. Here he is at the hotel.
Because you're a f***ing the end of your days and you live that
Oh, no, get the other one first. Hold on, get the other one first. That's the dash cam one. Here he's in the hotel.
I have rights. I have rights. I'm an American.
Come on, talk to me.
You got me in my hotel, arresting me in my hotel for doing what, sir?
Let's go.
Yo, you really got these cuffs on me heavy, bro.
Let me out.
Now hold on a second. Pause it a second. Okay, so that was from the dash cam in the hotel.
Yep.
Now this goes into...
he's on the back seat.
It's in the dash cam. Yeah, so that was in the hotel. Did you notice, though, his defense? I'm an American, bro.
Don't cuff me, bro.
I pay my taxes.
I have my rights.
Heavy. What American the hell citizen. Does that matter?
These are heavy cuffs.
Right. Okay, here he is in the car now.
Oh, no, we can't talk nothing.
Listen, I'm not the one...
American. Okay. I pay my taxes. Get the off my fucking arms.
So we're not going to have a conversation?
No. Okay. You're going to put these shits off my arms or you be f***ing. You got a president don't give a shit about you. And you stuck in a police force that don't give a
Hold
f-
on a second. Now, that's a black cop there. That one's a black cop. You got a president who doesn't give a blank about you, meaning...
You work for a police force that doesn't give a crap
right,
about
this
you.
Is a whole race thing he's bringing up. Okay.
So you want to arrest white people who give a f***, who ask for cigarettes? I came up to you trying to be nice, you stupid bitch. I came up to you asking for a cigarette, you dumb f***. Why would I ask for a cigarette if I was racist, you stupid bitch? I was asking for a cigarette, you said no. I said word. And then you arrested me, you dumb
f***. I said word.
They got cameras everywhere, you dummy. I got more millionaire lawyers than you know what to do with, you stupid bitch. I'm from it, you dummy.
I'm from it?
I'm from it, you dummy.
A little arrogant there, but again, race always comes up with Shia.
Oh, yeah.
Always comes up. You know, the cop wasn't saying you were being racist.
No.
No one else is bringing race up. No. He said, I wasn't being racist. I was just asking for a cigarette.
You're
what
arresting
is that?
A white guy for asking for a cigarette?
This shows how crazy he is about the race.
I love how he drops, I got millionaire lawyers.
A little arrogance there, too. Okay, so that's as they first put him in the car. Then he's with the white cop as he's driving him down the road. Here we go.
Because you're a f***ing f- at the end of your days, and you live that legacy. That's what you signed up for, f***ing made whore. If I have my gun, I'll blow your f- up. You're a f***ing So you got your shit, and you do nothing. Except what, homie? Whore. F***ing f***ing coward. And your legacy. You got a kid? Hoso, so he can know what the f*** no-so is going. You're a b***h.
for leaks. Not for years. A bitch for leaks.
Hold it right there. Hold on a second. Is he saying leagues?
Leagues?
Not for
leaks?
Years. You've been a whatever for leagues. 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 Yeah. It league
must be.
Is a measurement of distance. You've traveled so many leagues. Yeah. Does he mean it is time? I think that's what he's going for. Okay, so he's berating the cop.
Oh, yeah.
He's just going off the whole time. Yeah. The cop's like, okay.
On that one, he actually says, I wish I had my gun and I will kill you.
Right, that's, yeah. And he going on and on. The white cop, you hear him? You're supporting oppression, yeah. Basically, because you're the white cop, whatever. Yeah. So this whole time, he keeps bringing up race. The black cop, you got a president doesn't support you, and you're part of a force and whatever, and you're supporting this. Now, the white cop, hey, you're supporting the system as a white cop, whatever. So, Shia, clearly anti-racist.
A pirate, bitch. And you put your own kind in the fucking pen for nothing. You put a white man in the pen for what, you fucking bitch? For asking for a black man for a cigarette? That's your country. I pay my taxes, you dumb bitch. You about to meet my lawyer, and you made this trip for nothing. And you feel
cop.
Like a stupid, slimy whore. Enjoy your right, life. Man. That's your legacy, you f***ing coward.
You slimy whore.
So then you put a white man in prison, and he mentioned your own kind.
Yeah.
So I thought you were the anti-racist. Now you're playing the, hey, we're both white. Why don't you look?
Come on, bro.
Hooking on brother up.
Yeah.
Is that what he's? Yeah. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so, over under a year before Shia ends up dead or in like long term prison, which one?
Long term prison,
dead.
And over under, you take it under or over? You go in less than a year, over a year,
over a year.
Yeah, just over.
Yeah, just over a year.
Okay, so that's the time frame. Gotcha.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
By the way, Brandon Morse for the Blaze stopping by and hanging with us for a little bit here as well.
Howdy.
A little headline that Brad missed. I'm sorry you didn't get to this one. In the UK, they did a surprise inspection at a meat plant. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some of the meat, and they're like, all right, let's check this ground beef. And they had some indication that there may be some other meats mixed in with the ground beef, that it may be horse. There was a little bit of a tip-off.
Nay.
They they found 3 ID chips from horses in the feed. There it is.
Good job.
Yeah, so, you know, you put the microchips in certain animals or whatever. So they're going through the beef. They're like, we don't think this is all beef. We think some of this is horse. Oh, yeah, prove it. Here's 3 horse microchips. Might have something to do with it.
Yep.
But this has been an issue ongoing around the world. It's worse in England, where you buy meat, especially ground meat, and it turns out to be something else.
Wait, are you saying that here in America, like, is it a problem here in America sometimes too?
Yes, it is.
So we probably should be worse.
Celebrity Chef Absolutely. Patrick talks business and food trends with Doc Thompson and the always hungry Morning Blaze crew.
Celebrity Chef Patrick Mosier joining us now. You can join him on Twitter. It's @FoodBizPro, @FoodBizPro or FoodBizPro.com. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you this morning, Doc?
Doing well. Did you hear me mention the horse meat?
Yeah, you know, how do you make that mistake? How do you even pretend to make that mistake?
Well, we know some people, I mean, in the restaurant industry, you've run into this where people are like, no, it's Chilean sea bass, and it's not. It's actually cod or something because it's cheaper, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of false advertising with seafood. But, I mean, even a whole fish sometimes can be misidentified. I don't know if I've ever misidentified a horse as a head of cattle.
Well, in the UK, they throw the stuff in, and they could test meat. Various places, probably in the U.S., it's not as bad, but some places where they'll say, yes, by the way, that ground turkey you had was 1% other or, you know, 2% horse or whatever. That happens now and then. I guess it's maybe sloppy meat cutting or something or processing.
The horse just fell in. It was an accident.
It's 1% Brad's finger. He was working the line.
I can understand if they said it was 1% up to 1% chicken because it's a poultry processing house, so maybe they did chicken first, and you know, you clean the machinery, but you never know that that
little hunk of something.
Last little bit stuck. Oh. Yeah, it's that's just a, I think that's a safety net to say things like that. But I really, how can you possibly mistake a horse for a cow?
Yeah, that's I think some of it's calculated because it's
four
cheaper.
Legs.
Cheaper.
And they both got one head.
The mane gets stuck in your teeth.
So, Patrick, I saw a list online, people mentioning their culinary Achilles heel. What is your culinary Achilles heel, the thing that you're just like, no, I'm going to have that regardless? What would be on your list? And it could be maybe a full dish that you've had somewhere, you know, like, oh, this pataya that they have made it.
Pate.
So as far as cooking or as far as eating?
The
one I can't resist or the one I can't ever, okay.
Yeah,
so
eating.
As far as eating, and it's not even my favorite dessert, but if there's creme brulee on the menu,
that is so weird. I was going to say the same thing.
Is it curious? Is it curiosity? Is that?
Yeah, you know, I do like 20 different versions of creme brulee. I do a pumpkin creme brulee during the holidays. And so I have to see if it's good. I have to see if it's been, you know, congealed long enough in the refrigerator, if they put the right amount of egg versus cream in there to make
it. Okay, I know what's going on here. This is mine's better. Right? I can do it better. They screwed this up.
You know what's funny is I've never actually liked creme brulee.
Oh, creme brulee.
I've never
rocking.
Had a good one, but I've never tasted it. And when
what are you, a communist? What are you, like horse meat?
Yeah. I'm a horse meat. I'm a horse meat and chips kind of guy.
Really? You don't like the creme brulee?
I don't know what it is about it. Like, the taste never really got me.
Are you a vanilla fan? Because that's the basic creme brulee. It's a strong vanilla.
It? Yeah. Maybe it's because, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've been tasting a lot of other different kinds, but I never had, like, a good one. Because, like he was saying, it sounds like you could get a really bad one out there.
You can. I mean, sometimes it's more like flan or...
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and I'm not, like, not a flan fan.
I'm not a fan of flan. No.
What's the difference between flan and creme brulee? I feel like they're very similar.
$3. A lady named Carmen.
A name Rosa. Mix the flan.
Right.
Typically, flan is done, a traditional flan is done in a mold where it's sliced into pieces and served. It can be done as a single portion, but it can be a little more eggy.
So it's more also, gelled, usually more gelled.
Do they both have the crunchy top on them?
No.
No,
just the creme brulee.
Yeah, so with the flan, they actually put the caramel in the bottom of the pan. And then they pour the custard in, and after they bake it, they unmold the whole thing. So you've got this lighter, it's a caramel sauce instead of the burnt sugar on top.
That sounds much better.
Flan was more gelatin-like, more like that. The consistency, more like that.
Yeah. So it's not baked in a water bath either, so that it can be. It's not as smooth, right? It's baked harder around the edges.
I do love the creme brulee. It wouldn't be one of those I have to have. But, Brad, so creme brulee would be one of the things that you can't resist?
It is, but since Patrick already said that...
Is there anything?
White chocolate.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why not dark chocolate, Brad?
He's a racist. We know that. What about you, Cal? Well, give me the dish or item that you're like, I just can't resist. If it's on the menu, it doesn't matter. Diet be damned. I'm sneaking it. I'm stashing it behind the...
Probably wings. If I see, like, wings on a menu...
Chicken wings?
Chicken wings. Mm-hmm. I'm 9 out of 10 times, I'm going for the wings.
So you pretty much live at Wingstop like I do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Although I'm a bit of a wing snob. Like, I don't just... there's lots of crappy wings out there, wing joints. They got to be, like, crunchy. They got to be fried.
So, Patrick, are you a creme brulee snob as well?
You know, I think it's just more... It's kind of a morbid curiosity thing.
Okay. Because I'm a Reuben snob. I'm a Reuben snob, admittedly. Yeah, I would refuse to order. I love Reubens. It's not my,
go-to.
It's not my Achilles heel, but I love them, and I can't order them at 90-some% of the places where they're on the menu because they're awful. I mean,
that's kind of like me. I order short ribs every time I go somewhere, even though it's not my favorite dish. I always order them because that's another one. It's something that you should not be able to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people do, and I'm not judging people. I just want to know, you know, how many people out there really get this right as a chef? And I've been to some really nice restaurants where you order the short ribs, and it's just not, even if there are better things on the menu, I have this, I don't know, I always order it.
It's like a nervous tick. Like,
what's your Achilles heel, Brandon?
What's that?
What's your Achilles heel?
So it's recently, I've only found it recently, and there's this place in Dallas on Henderson called The Porch. You go in there, you can order an appetizer called burrata and toast.
And what is burrata and toast?
Okay, so it's like
burrata is the mozzarella cheese with the cream inside.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
What is it? What is it?
It's mozzarella, but it's got a cream inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you can Patrick can probably explain it better.
Yeah.
And you can spread it on this toast, and then it's got like roasted garlic that you can kind of put on it. And and then maybe a seasonal garnish.
Let me get comfortable. Hey, okay.
Is that about right,
keep
Patrick?
Talking,
is that
keep
it?
Talking.
Yeah, you know what? So did you get that in Dallas? Because there's a restaurant I went to in Dallas where I got that.
Yeah, it's called The Porch. It's off Henderson.
Yeah, that's where I was. So yeah, they give you a whole head, like a whole head of roasted garlic.
Yeah, and you can like
there's a tomato jam and a little cup on the side.
Yep, tomato and bacon jam.
That you can open.
Yeah, and then the burrata cheese is basically it's fresh mozzarella on the outside, but they inject it with a cream.
Yeah.
You cook it in boiling water is how you make mozzarella.
Hey, say that more sultry, because I think
Brad is...
Brad over here is having drooling. A little bit of a...
He's got slow grind.
Why are your pants off, Brad?
I think it's obvious.
You had me
a burrata. That's actually a very good dish. Like avocado toast for a while, when it first came out, I was intrigued by that for about a week.
Yeah.
But everywhere I went, I ordered avocado toast just to see what kind of spin they put on it. Did they chop the avocados up, or did they just slice them and shingle them? Did they put a fried egg on it? Did they put something underneath the avocado? I call that a food fad. It's not really a trend.
Yeah.
But when those come out, I always try them just so I have experience. So next time Doc brings it up on the air, I can talk about it.
That's what my girlfriend and I have been doing that a lot. We'll go to restaurants and just try like the weird stuff.
Oh, I love to try a bunch.
That's the best part of going out.
And then they
out.
Have dinner.
Then they have dinner.
Good morning.
So, I have a lot of, I love food so much. There's a lot of Achilles heels, plural. Pizza's one of them. I mean, if there's good pizza, but I'm also a pizza snob. So if it's just, whatever, I can avoid it. But if it's good looking pizza,
go to Pie Tap.
Brisket, I can't.
Ooh, brisket.
But an odd one that I realized I cannot avoid, and it's one of, it's part of its, like cultural and mom, tied to emotion, is creamed new potatoes. But they are, have you ever had creamed potatoes?
No. Is that like mashed potatoes?
Patrick, explain it. It's made with, so you put the potatoes in, they're whole pieces of potatoes, but then the starch from the potato you mix with cream and butter, is that?
Yeah. So, well, and typically creamed potatoes are made with whole baby, the new potatoes. So they're small peeled red potatoes, and then you make you boil them, or you can actually fry them if you want to, but the oil kind of gets in the way of the sauce. But if you boil them, then you mix them in with some of the starch from the potatoes, but then a little bit of flour, cream, the butter, and then seasoning. And it's, oh my God, it's so rich and delicious. And
it's almost like potatoes. If you've never had it, it's a white sauce, but thicker. It's made like a cream sauce. It really is.
It's not a gravy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like that, but it's potato flavored.
That sounds like cream spinach, cream corn, same kind of concept.
It's like that, but a little bit different.
That sounds like a southern dish if I've ever heard
it. It is, and you just load the butter. I mean, it's buttered cream. It is so many calories and so horrible for you.
Delicious diabetes.
Long twigs in cream and butter.
It is so damn good. And it's also something my mom has, made growing up. I mean, all summer long, she'd always make this as one of the few things she actually cooked, because otherwise it was just sliced tomatoes and, you don't want to heat the house up.
Was her name Paula Deen?
No, it might as well have been. It was awesome. It's so good for you, or so bad for you, but so tasty. So that's one that's there. I'm going to eat it, and I'm eating a lot of it. That's a solid one.
Cream potatoes.
So what do you got for us this week? Got any good recipes up at the site, foodbizpro.com? You going to tweet some out?
I'm going to tweet some. So we talked about recipes we love to make.
Mm-hmm.
I like talking about recipe fails. Everybody kind of has their Achilles heel. I make crepes a few times a year, and there's a reason that the first one is called For the Dog. Because it always sticks. That macaron cookies, those French colorful there are only four ingredients in macarons plus the filling, but it's the most difficult cookie to make. But I'm going to go ahead and tweet some of those at it. There's always an interesting list of what people fail at.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I couldn't make the macarons like that, because you have to really stick to the recipe. It's very,
yes, you
got to be detail oriented and strict. And I'm one of It's close enough. Throw an extra pinch in. it's close enough. So that doesn't do well when in baking. That's very bad. That's very bad. All right, Patrick Moser, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks, Doc.
All right, just go to foodbizpro.com or at foodbizpro if you're in need of a consultant for a food service business, restaurant, supermarket. He does all of those. You need some business advice, anything related to that, all you have to do is contact him, foodbizpro.com. Back in a minute with more on The Morning Blaze.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Podcasts that make you think.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Improved health, amazing incentives, and great life insurance. That's Health IQ. Health IQ thinks that health-conscious people deserve lower rates, so they've developed a system to do just that. For years, you had health insurance companies that, or excuse me, life insurance companies that said, if you have certain metrics, you got a high body mass weight, a family history of disease, or whatever, they're going to charge you more. That makes sense. But if you had a healthier lifestyle, why didn't they save you money? No, we can't do that. Well, Health IQ said, no, we can do that. So they spent years developing all the data to get you the best life insurance rates possible. And you can get a free quote. Just go to healthiq.com/blaze. Healthiq.com/blaze. All you have to do is answer a couple simple questions, and they'll tell you what your quote is. It's that simple. Healthiq.com/blaze. They'll ask you your mile time, you know, eating habits, stuff like this, some very basic things, and then spit out your quote. If you like the quote, you sign up with them. But the big thing is just go to healthiq.com/blaze. It's actually pretty interesting to see where you fall on the health scale, because you can use it kind of as a metric to see how you're doing.
Absolutely.
Because they're asking these questions and you're like, well, I never really thought, is that a healthy lifestyle or not?
And then actually give you incentive to be healthy.
Right, exactly. And then you see rates. The quote and you're like, okay, I'm doing all right. By comparison, I'm all right. So healthiq.com/blaze. Healthiq.com/blaze. Brandon Morse joining us now. He'll be with us for a couple segments here to find out. What's your take on the Donald Trump Jr. tweets? What's your emails?
Oh, to be honest with you, I think it's a complete and total nothing burger at this point in time. And he didn't do anything illegal, right?
That's the big thing, right?
Okay, so here's my take on it, though. And this is what I feel like. I feel like, I hate to go conspiracy theorist, but does Donald Trump not hate the media, right?
He does.
Do the Russians not also hate the media in conjunction with WikiLeaks?
Mm-hmm.
I think the real collusion here is them trying to discredit the media.
They're faulted. That would be amazing.
Man. Is that not, it's a little conspiracy theorist, but...
But wrong or right, though, how cool would that, even if they didn't do it on an official, all right, we will get together and discredit. Yeah. It's even if they didn't do that, but they're both like, hey, they're kind of messing with the media, maybe.
Yeah, I think the first clue there was like Donald Trump Jr. released it, voluntarily, but he released it first, like he was just okay with doing that, you know? But then let's also remember that, like, despite the fact, if anything that he did was illegal, at this point, the only thing he did that was illegal was not tell them, but... Hillary did it too.
Oh yeah,
and if it's legal for her, it's got to be legal for Junior.
Coming up a half hour from right now, we'll have Brandon lay that out about what Hillary did that's similar. So moving forward, you can see this is not the first. You wouldn't know that from CNN, but we'll do that about a half hour from right now. In the meantime, get your tweets in. It's at Doc Thompson Show, at Real Chris Cruz, at Cal79, at The Blaze Brad, and at Brandon Morse.
The
Brandon Morse.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze on the Blaze Radio Network.
The collision of common sense and comedy. This is
is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
I feel like we've been shirking our duties today and not getting to enough tweets.
Oh, yeah. So,
and I blame Cal for that.
That's my fault. That's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's at Cal79.
Cal with a K.
Cal with a K. Ryan Kaiser says, does Cal eat anything besides hot dogs and wings? No, I don't.
No, that's you groove on some Mexican.
I do love me some Mexican.
And some food.
Foods in general.
Yeah.
Jordan Richt tweeted, I've gained 7 pounds just listening to this Food Biz Pro segment.
You're welcome.
Love it. Love it. It. There's so many other things we talk about. Achilles heel. I like food so much, but dessert wise, what are your top couple of favorite desserts?
Like, I am addicted to ice cream. I can't stop.
I love ice cream. Love it. I would go, if I had to put, not just what I like, but I think what most people would like, and also fairly well done, it's hard to beat a fudge brownie delight.
Well, I was going
to
say, there's brownie sundae. Yeah. Every restaurant has the brownie sundae, has the apple pie,
brownie,
has the creme brulee.
Brownie, vanilla ice cream, some sort of syrup, and whipped cream is hard to beat. Apple pie, if it's done well, but think about apple pie. Most people think they know how to make apple pie. Yeah. Very few do. And strawberry shortcake's pretty hard to beat.
I gotta think for key lime. If I see key lime pie, I always go for the key lime.
You know what's funny?
I love key lime pie.
That and cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
I love cheesecake.
A lot of poorly done cheesecake, too.
Yes, you gotta be careful.
Mm-hmm. Another really good one, tiramisu. Done well.
Yeah.
Hard to beat.
You don't like tiramisu?
Eh.
That's amazing.
I feel like it's overplayed.
We're going to stop this conversation because that's just wrong.
That kind of hurt my soul a little bit.
All right, joining us now, Jared Stepman, contributor for the Daily Signal. How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. So what's your go-to dessert? What's your dessert that you're like, okay, I got to, that's the one. Can't that's the no. big dog right there.
You know, I got to say, it sounds kind of fancy, but I'm really a huge creme brulee fan.
We mentioned that last hour, how good
really,
that is.
If it's done really well, I'll go for that every single time.
That's interesting. That's how many people like the creme brulee. I didn't realize it was that popular.
I just got to think that maybe I just had bad creme
brulee. I think you did. Yeah. We'll have the chef come up. Jared, let's talk about this deal with California. So California has a travel ban on citizens traveling to red states. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty crazy law that California's put down. They put a travel ban to 8 red states. Including Kentucky, Tennessee, Kansas. It's a pretty wild law. They basically have restricted money from state employees for when they're traveling to these states because they have laws they find not to be acceptable, you know, because of LGBT rights. They think these states are not very good at this. So they basically want to restrict their employees from these red states. Of course, the one exemption they made is when those employees are trying to recoup funds from those states. They're good with collecting money in those states, but of course, this is California, so they need to get their tax money. They've got some pretty bloated budgets there, as you can imagine. And so that's the one thing that they'll make an exemption for, but they generally want to restrict their employees from traveling to these other states. And what is, frankly, quite an absurd law.
Okay, it sounds ridiculous, and I would say that, but you could make the argument if they're standing up for what they believe, but as soon as you say, but if we're going to go try to get money out of these states, it's different, then you guys have even lost that small sliver of moral ground you are hanging to.
Right, exactly, and it is absurd. Of course, you know, they're cutting off travel to states like Texas. But as you probably well know, California is one of the states that joined in the lawsuit against Trump's travel ban against countries like Syria and Libya. And I can't say that I think that Syria and Libya have very strong LGBT laws. Now, I don't know those laws very well, but I think most of the countries on that list, consider those offenses punishable by death. So, you know, it's a bit hypocritical. It's like a lot of these companies that, you know, won't do business in North Carolina because of the transgender bathroom ban. Well, you know, but they still do business in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So it really is. It is a pretty ridiculous law that, you know, I think, you know, the kind of the hypocrisy of California, I think, does need to be pointed out in this case. It is kind of selective outrage against their sister state and a kind of economic warfare that I think to a certain extent the founders tried to prevent when they created the Constitution.
Wow. All right. So you got that angle, but then you have the angle of what about reciprocation? What about is Alabama and Texas going to go, oh, yeah? Well, guess what, California? Doesn't that start a terrible snowball effect?
Oh, it absolutely does. And you know, the states have already made verbal responses. I mean, Tennessee just blasted California in the legislature. They made a really great response and just said, well, you know, if they don't come after us for our laws, we won't come after them for their exorbitant taxes, spiraling budget deficits, and rampant, you know, illegal immigration. And Texas, too, has blasted California as well. And I think you're going to see a lot of states start to do this in retaliation. I mean, Texas is not just going to stand still while California takes away, I guess, which you could say is a lot of their tourist budget for employees traveling. And, you know, it's going to cause a lot of problems. I mean, it's going to have a snowball effect where, I mean, you kind of see somebody called this a kind of soft secession by California. And I think there are going to be some long-term repercussions for this, especially, you know, when other states are looking at losing a you know, significant part of business. And they're not just going to stand by and let California essentially abuse them. So, you know, I think it is a very serious problem. I mean, you know, when the founders created the Constitution, one of the primary things they wanted to do is prevent economic warfare between the states. It's something destructive. I mean, they wanted to create this kind of big free trade zone within the United States. You know, California, to a certain extent, is trying to get around that, trying to punish other states. And it could definitely lead to a snowball effect where, you know, you have economic warfare, you know, you have states that just can't tolerate each other culturally, and, you know, the country becomes further divided. So, you know, I think it's dangerous, the kind of game that California is playing. I realize it's a very powerful state with a big, huge economy, and, you know, maybe some of the smaller states have difficulty reciprocating the, you know, what they do against California. But a state like Texas, you know, has a lot of power. I mean, Texas takes a lot of California businesses, sure, as they well noted. So, you know, this could become a real problem as states start to retaliate against one another.
You know what? This is wrong, because this is the overall problem with what's going on right now in America. This is the big problem, is that we are not looking for common ground. We want to retreat, unfortunately, to our little corners, get our little team together, and then stand on our individual opinions as opposed to common ground, the things that unite all of us. And California doing this is only making it worse, even for Jared, the things that they are trying to accomplish.
That's exactly right. I mean, kind of the message is essentially, you know, resist or crush. And you know, when they say that, you know, they want to be tolerant, they say they want to, you know, this is really destructive. Who's going to say, well, gee, you know, I'm really going to look toward California's views, when they just seem to be smiting those who they disagree with? I think it immediately turns people off to them. I think it makes people angry. I mean, one of the big issues with this law is going to have some damage on the college football season, because of scheduling to be difficult from California to Texas. I don't think the people of Texas are going to be happy when the college football season interrupted because of this ridiculous law. I think there'll be a lot of people who say, hey, you know, California, you know, they just generally, they're not tolerant of other people's views. They're going to use their strength and their power to smash us. And why should we deal with them? Why should we even look at their views as something serious? And I think they're not really doing anything except for, you know, kind of making themselves feel good about, well, gee, we have superior laws to them. But, you know, we're still part of a union. We're still, you know, one country. And to do this against their fellow citizens and their fellow states, I think is beyond egregious. And, you know, it is going to have some long-term impact that I don't think could possibly be good for the country.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the ideological superiority, though, is going to, at least the perceived ideological superiority, is going to shine through. And I noticed that many people, like, I feel like nowadays, are starting to reject this ideological superiority. And I hate to say this, but this is one of the reasons I feel Trump won. And in fact, I mean, you have a bunch of studies that came out that basically said that Trump won because people were rejecting this ideological oncoming storm of the left that California, frankly, is hardcore signed on to. And I just think it's interesting that people are getting tired of it. They're saying, look, if you really want diversity, then let's try ideological diversity. If California wants to say, no, just we're going to be very, you know, isolated in what we think, then you know what? Go ahead and do that. You're only punishing yourself in the very end.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what kind of scares a lot of people. And they, frankly, right now, they look like bullies. I mean, they're trying to punish other states. And, you know, people don't like that. You know, to a certain extent, you know, people say, hey, you know, you should
be taller of my views, I'm tall of yours, you don't agree. But California, just frankly, they look like bullies in the state. They're pushing around smaller states. They're going after people. And at some point, people get fed up. I mean, I can say as a former Californian, you know, I got pretty fed up with the things going on there, too. So I think a lot of people around the country are just have more and more animosity. When I tell people I'm from California, like, oh, you're from California. You know, I don't think it does a lot of help to a state that at one point was, you know, I would say one of the greatest in the union. Certainly it's been one of the most economically powerful. But when you burn this many bridges and when you smash this many people, you know, people are going to start leaving the state. People, you know, who consider themselves even moderately, you know, red state kind of voters are going to get up and leave. I mean, they already have to deal with the high tax and all the other issues in California. But when they see these kind of punitive behaviors towards people who don't agree with them, you know, what does that tell people in the state who maybe don't have the same views as people in Sacramento, in the state's capital? What does it say about them? Are they going to have the long arm of the law come down on them because they don't simply agree with the views of the majority in the state? I mean, this is a really dangerous situation that they've put people in, and I think it's going to lead to damaging consequences, not for only just for Californians, but for people across the country. And, you know, I hope in the ideological battle, you know, other states will see the wisdom of not going after their fellow states. But, you know, it's pretty hard when one's coming after you. I just can't see a situation where the other states stand still and let California keep bullying them.
I just tweeted out a link to your story. People can read it for themselves. Jared Stepman, editor of the Daily Signal. Thanks, sir. Appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Good guy, Jared Stepman. You could follow him on Twitter as well, at Jarrett Stepman. But I tweeted out a link to it as well. You know, there's another angle to this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your priority, California?
Yeah.
Again, I bring this up all the time. How long have we been around? How many new laws do you need? Shouldn't we have gotten all the laws that need passed done, aside from a few adjusting for technology and a budget every year? How many laws do you need? And there's a lot to be done. Is California perfect? And this is what you've said you're going to worry about?
Yeah, yeah. This is not new. You know what's funny? It's like I actually hate like half clever sayings, like, you know, making up words like oh bummer, you know, that kind of stuff. But California is kind of accurate, is it not? No, and like recently they started coming out with these just useless gun laws, like you can't have a magazine with that holds more than 10 bullets
that doesn't actually accomplish even what they want it to accomplish.
Yes, exactly. Right. Even the sheriffs in the state are like, I'm not enforcing that.
Right,
that's dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I could even get, I wouldn't agree with it, and I wouldn't support laws, but they would make sense if it really did something. Yeah. Like, if you had a gun law that said, this gun law is going to prevent people from murdering people in Chicago,
right.
I still wouldn't agree with it because it would infringe Second Amendment rights.
Exactly.
However, at least I would go, well, at least it's going to stop murder. I can't get people. But these ones, they don't do anything.
Yeah, no, I think it's a lot of just, like, flexing your muscles because you can.
Wow.
I feel like that's what they do in the ideological isolationist state of California.
If it were not for their crazy ideals, which have also led to their high taxes, I would live in California.
Oh, it's beautiful.
We were talking about this yesterday. It's just gorgeous.
There's 10 areas of California that I would move to right now, topping most other places. It's spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, it's crazy. And the other horrible part, it's not 98% crazy people or leftists. It's not 75%. It's really like 54, 55, 56. Just enough that you can't even get over like the 51% margin.
Right. It's concentrated crazy in certain areas.
That's the other part, too.
If you actually look at California's map, a lot of it's still red. And there was actually a movement for a while to split California up into four different states.
That's not done. There's still some people pushing that and secession.
Yeah.
Which, if people are talking that, guess what, people? All Americans, fellow Americans, we have a problem.
Yeah.
If we're doing this, that means... And the same thing if groups of leftists are talking about seceding from areas. Mm-hmm. We have a problem. We're not looking at common ground and the things that unite us. Summer months means fun for a lot of us, but for some of us, it also means going to have some trouble breathing, especially indoors where, like here in the building, for some reason, we celebrate dust. We encourage as much dust and dander and pollen in this building as possible. I love it. Bring
in more. It's my popcorn topping.
Right, it is. It's crazy in here. I have struggled this spring. It's been horrible. Until my buddy Brad goes, hey, I got a filter I just put in your office, in your dressing room. What? It's Alexa Pure. It's awesome. I have it on all the time, and I've breathed much, much easier. The Alexa Pure Breeze uses an innovative four-stage filtration process. Not two, not three, nay, four process. It includes an advanced true HEPA filter that removes 99.97% of airborne contaminants. I have cleaned this thing many times. It is so dusty here. If you need more information, get AlexaPure.com. That's getAlexaPure.com. I'll tweet out a link to it. Or call 888-895-7746. Get your Alexa Pure Breeze today for a special introductory offer and start breathing easier. All you have to do is call 888-895-7746. Or better yet, go to AlexaPure.com. AlexaPure.com.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Councilwoman in Sweden says students feel embarrassed about going to the bathroom at school, and she wants to do something about it. You know why they feel embarrassed to go to the bathroom at school?
I'm assuming it has something to do with gender neutral.
Because people
bias.
Can hear them sometimes.
You know, I can a little bit relate.
I actually can a lot relate.
You
to
go
that.
To the bathroom and.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want.
I actually, if I go to the bathroom and I get in a stall and there's people in there, I'll wait till they leave.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, same for me. If someone walks in, all activity stops. Yeah.
I would, I head down that road and then my impatience kicks in. I'll give them a, and then I'm like, the hell with it. I'm in the bathroom and I got stuff to do, and then it just goes. That's it. Yeah, she's worried about that in school though, so she has a plan. She said, first of all, I don't think it's just about number two on the toilet, but many. Also can't do number one.
What, really?
That's what she says. She says, I've worked in the world of education for many years, and I know the students have that this is a problem, above all in junior and senior high school. She said, I myself experienced this when I was young, and now that it's being talked about, many other confirm that they do too. It's not something you talk about completely open. So her plan is, this is her big plan as a councilwoman.
Yeah, I was going to, how are they going to fix this?
Hand out headphones before you head into the bathroom.
No, but that would be a good headphones. One. What else? What else you got? Anything? Play music.
Play music. In each really stall. Loud music in the stalls.
In each stall, so you can turn. Like you can turn up.
I don't know if you'd have control over
I'm
it.
I'm like a bird.
Because I'm thinking the music would have to be pretty loud in some cases.
I know you would have. To, yeah.
And then you're unless you have control over it. So you know, it starts off. You're like, I can do it, by the way, there'd use my walk. I'm a woman's man.
There'd be a lot of heavy metal playing in there just to cover up. I don't even like this.
Or you just cover up your own grunts by playing Nirvana. It's like you know you're right. You know you're.
Although some people just sounds like Kurt Cobain's in the stall with you, right?
Hey,
wait. And it smells like Courtney Love's in with you.
Oh!
Hey-o. Good morning. She is such a skanky person.
She really is. Yeah. She looks gross. Just she as does. A person, she looks gross.
So this councilwoman said she likes the design that a new local high school has. She's proposing it in other schools as well. I don't know exactly how it works, but there's music in every toilet. Her proposal is going to have to be voted on. So this, talking about having... Haven't we passed enough laws? Nope. She wants this in. There'll be a chicken in every pot.
That's right.
And a song in every stall, apparently.
I wonder if it's the same song on repeat.
That keeps you from staying in the bathroom too long, too, right?
Or are they going to have like MP3 players where you can like choose music in the stall?
Yeah, that's what I think it
but
would be.
But then you got to worry about who's washing their hands and who's touching that. Who would want to touch that? That's a whole other
But thing. Then like, here's the other problem you got to think about. You know, if you actually have that thing going... You have to compete with the stall next to you.
Oh, that's true. So you got to keep amping it up.
Yeah.
How about in all stalls, we just play NPR? That keeps the kids from hanging out in the restroom and smoking the cigarettes and whatnot. They're going, no! And now, in stall number one, all things considered.
Listen in as we watch and listen to paint dry.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Unanswered questions. Lots of unanswered questions surrounding Donald Trump Jr. and the most recent emails confirming that he did have some interaction with some people in Russia that he believed were connected with the federal, with the Russian government. Lots of unanswered questions.
Yeah.
Okay. First unanswered question for me, and it's probably the biggest, is who was going to, how did the, who leaked the emails to the New York Times? That's, how did they get them? From whom?
Yeah, exactly. And how did WikiLeaks know that they had them and that they, what did the New York Times announce that they were going to release it?
I don't know if they announced it officially, but somehow Donald Trump Jr., the Trump campaign or Trump team knew that they were going to.
Well, yeah, because wasn't the story that WikiLeaks contacted Donald Trump Jr. and said, hey, the New York Times is going to drop this.
They did. Yeah, they did. I don't know if he had already planned on doing it or what, but there was a, and it was specifically Julian Assange who did it.
Okay.
Specifically, Assange contacted him, supposedly.
So I think that's interesting in and of itself, that, that Assange reached out to Donald Trump Jr. and was like, hey, it'd probably be better for you if you actually did this first before New York Times did.
Or did he want like an exclusive?
So why does Julian Assange seem to have some kind of crap? Like, why does he give a crap about Donald Trump Jr.?
And by the way, before we get to the other answered questions, let me say again, and we discussed this earlier, no crime has been committed.
Correct.
Based on the information we have so far, no crime has been committed. And by the way, with many speculations from people or groups like CNN, even if the things that they're speculating could have happened, no crime would have been committed.
Correct.
It is. I mean, we are so far away from a crime. I'm not justifying. I don't think going on is right.
Correct.
I'm just trying to be truthful here. No crime has been committed. I don't like the shady dealings or all the questions. But having said that, some other interesting questions. You're right. Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Think about Snowden in Russia. Snowden and WikiLeaks. Julian Assange and Russia and them, and now Julian Assange with the Trump campaign, the Trump campaign with Russia, Russia with Hillary, Hillary's dealings with that, Russia's emails with Hillary, Hillary's dealings with the different companies in Russia and the uranium mining and whatever. Think about how all of these things are connected. It's not a straight line to just Trump to Russia and this to that. If there's no, and there's no central focus, if there was one, it would probably be Russia.
Yeah, yeah. We would need a string board, but all strings would connect to Putin.
Eventually, right.
You know, which I, by the way, Hillary, the whole thing with Hillary was, is she didn't actually, I'm sure she has dealings with Russia, don't get me wrong. Many Democrats actually do, fun fact. But Hillary's campaign during the 2016 campaign, one of her former aides, who's still very close to her, went to the Ukrainian government. The Ukrainian government gave her information. Now, keep in mind, Donald Trump Jr. as well was a private citizen when this happened, just like this aide was. They took the information given to them.
And who was Hillary at this point? She was just
campaigning. Yeah.
Okay. She was the nominee, but she was no longer in office.
Correct. Okay. She's not in office, so technically she's just running just like
average
Trump
citizen,
is.
Right.
But the aide goes out and seizes information from the Ukrainian government. I shouldn't say seize, but gets it given to them during a meeting. They come back and they use that information that the Ukrainian government had against Donald Trump.
What was the information? Do we know what that was?
No, I don't know what the information was. However, that happened. So this is exactly what happened with Donald Trump Jr., if that's what happened. Donald Trump Jr., a private citizen, went out, obtained information about the Hillary Clinton campaign that he came back and actually used against Hillary Clinton. So if it's illegal, if Donald Trump Jr. did anything illegal, then so did the Hillary Clinton campaign.
But it's likely neither one.
Neither one did anything illegal. Did they do any? Did they do something wrong? Yes.
Improper.
Yes.
Things we don't like.
Yes. Right. Did it illegal? No.
Is it possible? By the way, we're talking with Brandon Morris from TheBlaze.com. You can follow him. The Brandon. It's the or the.
The Brandon Morris.
The Brandon Morris. Yeah. Add the Brandon Morris.
And
please follow him.
The
Brandon Morris.
THEV. Right. We're not talking the silent P.
Right. Exactly. Here's what's interesting. We keep chasing all of these stories, a lot of them ginned up. Some of them have some meat. Let's investigate. We keep chasing all these different stories, but a lot of them connected with Russia. And one of the questions we have, certainly a lot of people on the left, is the connection between Trump and Russia. Are they conspiring? Did they work together? All these. Let's pause for a moment and imagine, shockingly, this has not come up a lot. Imagine for a moment that all of these different players are really playing their own game. That it's not Trump colluding with Russia because they have a common goal of maybe there is no common goal for any of these players, Assange, Snowden, Russia, Putin, Hillary, Donald Trump Jr., that there's not a common goal that when they have connected, that they're playing. So the Russians contacted Trump Jr. during the campaign. Hey, we got this information for you. What's his goal? Get the information, slap down Hillary, get dad elected.
Mm-hmm.
What's Putin's motivation? To get Hillary not elected? Maybe not. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's something completely different. It could be any number of things.
He just wanted some sort of favor to be able to.
And that's exactly probably what it boils down to. It's like, well, you know what? Hey, didn't I help you? Maybe you could be a little friendly with me right now.
Right, exactly.
Or like we said earlier this morning, I have this trail that leads to you looking pretty shady.
I'm going
to
use this blackmail chip.
Give me a little, you know, back scratch.
And then everybody else in this too. Imagine for a moment that everybody has their own goal, completely different. And at times, they may seem like they're working together because of a common goal, but it's not. When you do that, this becomes a very different story, and all of those stories make more sense.
Yeah.
Even connecting together, if they're all doing... That's maybe the reason we can't quite figure out why this is happening and these different things are happening
because,
the way they are.
Yeah, we're seeing smoke but no fire constantly, but we're just so transfixed with the smoke.
Right, so CNN is playing the game. They have started with the premise that Donald Trump is and did conspire with Vladimir Putin in Russia for the purpose of getting himself elected. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's where they're going.
Or to at least put some focus or fault on the Democratic Party.
But in order to get Trump elected. Yeah. And what would be his motivation, Putin's motivation for that? To influence the American government, and therefore they, CNN folks, get to treason. Mm-hmm. They get to, oh, it's treason, and Russia has control over our government, and all of this crazy stuff. Well, maybe that's not the case.
Yeah.
Maybe Trump was trying to get elected. Maybe Russia wasn't trying to get him elected.
Yeah, I'm willing to believe that there's nothing going on here and that we're chasing our tails. And I'm kind of wondering if
that's
it's
the
not.
Point, maybe?
Exactly it. Mm-hmm. The Democrats are trying to distract us from something. Trump definitely is trying to distract us from other stuff like that. There are definitely issues that we could be focusing on here in America right now, but we're not because we're so big. I mean, I cannot count the number of times a major story falls through the cracks because we're so obsessed with a tweet that Donald Trump sent out.
It's CNN is all Trump. Yeah. I mean, they are 95% Trump, peppering in a couple of obligatory stories or things that, oh, by the way, we just had a major earthquake. 40 million people have died. Back to Trump. Yeah. I mean, it's like that.
And you know what's bad is that you're actually not really exaggerating. They actually did, the MRC, the Media Research Center, did a study.
For the past couple of weeks or whatever? Yeah.
No. They monitored. They were like, okay, let's see how bad they are. We're only going to monitor a 24-hour period and just see what they do. And then 24 hours, the 90th percentile was nothing but anti-Trump propaganda from CNN.
That's amazing.
And people, that's why most people oh, CNN is fake news. I can't argue with it.
I can't
argue with that.
CNN is absolutely it's beyond despicable. It's laughable. It's a parody. Yeah. It's a goof.
Exactly. And it's like Sebastian Gorka said yesterday while he was on CNN. I mean, he got into an argument with one of the hosts and basically said, "Look, you are just anti-Trump now. That's all you are. You are anti-Trump news. You are fake news. This is not me just saying something. This is you being fake news."
I mean, MSNBC looks great by comparison.
Yeah.
They look like heroes in this by comparison.
Do you know how bad CNN has fallen? I can't pull up the thing right now, but I mean, like, they are so bad right now that they're getting beat out by, like, lesser news, like, cable news stations that don't even contain news.
Like Wichita Daily News.
Yeah. It's so bad.
Pete broadcasting news from his basement.
And
right?
Then you have,
Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough announces he's leaving the Republican Party.
Is that dated 1994? What is that?
That's this morning, 22 minutes ago.
I didn't realize he was still part of it.
I could have swore he was kind of up the Democratic rear.
Well, he always calls himself a Republican.
Yeah, like Stephen Colbert does.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's it. I mean, Joe Scarborough's a progressive. And by the way, anybody who's like, well, that sucks that the Republicans are losing. Toscarbo has not really supported the Republicans. Mm-hmm. He supported the Republicans more than he is a conservative.
Yeah.
He is a progressive. This is who he is. By the way, Joe Scarborough is not a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Scarborough is a progressive. There's a difference. He's not a guy who leans liberal on some issues.
Exactly.
This is a guy who ultimately supports control. That's who he is. And his little girly friend there, she is almost a Nazi.
Yeah.
She really is. She is so extreme.
Yeah.
And look at her dad. Her dad was that way as well.
Yeah. No,
vote
it's
for Jimmy Carter.
Mika Brzezinski's.
It's totally true. I feel like many people don't understand that, you know, you can be a Republican, but you can also be a statist at the same time. Mm-hmm. Use some of my libertarian
Hi, y'all.
Talk.
Hi, y'all. Lindsey Graham. I'm a statist.
He is a statist.
He is.
Mitch McConnell,
that's
statist.
It.
Just because you're a Republican does not mean you're for freedom.
No, and that's the key. That's what should have been or should be one of the things that unites people on the right.
Yeah.
Primarily, those people would vote Republican, and that is, statist is the best way to say it. You're right, Brandon.
Yeah.
You do not believe in the statist ideology that says the state will control.
Exactly.
I'm moving as far away. Glenn laid this out on stage years ago. One of his events that he held that I saw, and it's such a perfect way to lay it out. It's not on one side you have the right, which is the extreme version is Nazis, and on the left the extreme version is socialism or whatever. It's not. On the extreme right you have anarchy.
Yeah.
And on the extreme left you have control,
right.
Ultimate uber control, statism.
Right.
And what we should do, everybody should do, is start at anarchy and take one small step to the left.
Yep.
And keep doing that until things settle down.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
You need
agree.
The least amount possible. And it's not always, okay, let's keep trying to lean left to control. No, it's always fight to lean to the right until you lose control.
Yeah, no, I completely
agree. And by control, I mean basic civil society.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. The philosophy that I feel like people should follow is if it's not breaking your arm or taking money out of your wallet without asking you, then it's not your business and you should not care. Relieve yourself of the burden of trying to control other people with what you believe should be done.
That Tom Jefferson knew what he's talking about, didn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he did. His.
Got to tell you about Earth Water. This is water. For you people watching on Facebook, Brandon Morris's page, that is water. No, we're not getting this from Flint. We're getting it from Earthwater.
It's not flat cola.
Earthwater.com/theblaze is where you go. The reason it's black and it's really cool, it's not just a novelty. It has 70 trace minerals. It's things your body needs that you're probably not getting. It is a must-have. It tastes like water, exclusively and only like water. What's it taste like?
Water.
But it has the 70 trace minerals, which is really good. It's going to help boost your energy level, rebuild your immune system, do things like reduce the stress levels, improve your memory and focus, help remove toxins from your body, help maintain healthy skin, hair, and nails, all of that. And you can get it at earthwater.com/theblaze. Earthwater.com/theblaze. Remember to use the promo code theblaze when you check out, and you'll get even lower discounts off their already discounted product. I think today they got the deep discounts going.
Yeah,
I think they're still
Prime,
up there for Amazon Prime.
I think I know Prime. It's Prime Week, so it's
Prime
for
week.
The week.
Okay, so get it right now before
Prime
you forget.
Yeah.
It's theblaze. I'm sorry. Saw earthwater.com/theblaze. Earthwater.com/theblaze.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson
on the Blaze Radio Network.
Doc Thompson.
All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned you can check out Chris Cruz's new band Saturday night, stall number 3, PS39. That's where we'll be here performing. We learned political consultants dislike it when their clients mention doing drugs and picking up whores.
Right.
We learned before setting people on fire, make sure to have a bucket of urine standing by. And finally, apparently, bacon does not burn the skin of Muslims.
What?
It doesn't automatically do that. Who knew?
What?
Cal, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned bacon bullets hurt my feelings because you're wasting food.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
I learned the Bavarian Illuminati still at it again with the Russians and the Trump Jr. and the Hillarys and the, oh, look, there's no health care and we're in debt. No,
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. I learned if I'm on fire and all you have is a bucket of pee, toss it on me, all right?
drench me in it.
Or
me
if
out.
You just have a bucket of pee. All right.
Oh, you know what else I learned? We all miss Toronto Mayor Rob Ford.
Oh, that's right. Kirk, spin of the dials, radio style, Dallas Tech morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
What I learned today is Rob Ford is my new leader.
At the Blaze, Brad, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned what you get when you cross a cow with a horse.
Hmm.
Dinner in England. I also learned that creme brulee tastes best when I'm naked and sitting next to Brandon Morse.
Hey, baby.
Oh. Speaking of Brandon Morse, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I saw a new study that taught me that patients whose emergency surgeries are delayed have a higher risk of dying.
Yeah.
True story.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, the listeners learned today?
Well, you guys, Steven English learning California has officially become the Douchey McDoucheface Award.
Their new slogan, we're Douchey McDoucheface.
Come to California.
Quack and Kofefe tweeting out what I learned. Wish I've listened yesterday to comment on Chris Cruz's Swisheroo friend.
Oh, yeah. It's still up there. You just go to the podcast. Go to theblaze.com/doc and you can find them all. By the way, I didn't get the new numbers on procrastination.
I blame the Bavarian Illuminati.
Yeah, and Bigfoot and Donald Trump Jr. conspiring with the Russian government.
Yeah.
But we'll get to him tomorrow. What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
Packed show. We're talking about America's obsession with gold. We're talking to a man who crossed the world relying only on kindness of strangers. App of the week, Michael Pelka. It's going to be a
sounds good.
One.
What does Glenn Beck have coming up on his program following ours,
Harvard
the Blaze Radio
Law
Network?
Harvard Law graduate David French of NationalReview.com discusses the emails of Donald Trump Jr.
What is Glenn wearing
President
today?
Donald Trump goes from here. Concern. He's wearing concern.
Good deal.
From head to toe.
Remember the Morning Blaze today, a Chris Cruz production. Sic Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon. Wherever you are. Anya, now. You go home.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.